time. Father, we thank you for all of the blessings that you have given us up until this point in time. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we pray for every leader of every community, every city, every town. Father, just bless them, give them wisdom how to lead their people and do the best thing for their areas. Father, we pray your blessings upon the judge. Father, bless him and all of his efforts. And Father, we ask that you coordinate our efforts so that we're working for one cause. We thank you for everything that you've done. Most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, that died out on Calvary's cross and rose on that third day morning that we may have a right to the tree of life. It's in the name of Christ Jesus we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start this meeting, but I want to go around the room and everybody introduce yourself, where you're from, what the population is of your area you represent. Mayor Holland, I'll start with you.
Pressure's on you.
Now, did you say the area or the population?
Population of the city that you represent. I did say area, but
that's a big difference, though, wasn't it?
Okay. You've got a lot of folks don't live in the city you represent, right? So area may more apply to you.
But Mayor Holland, Mayor of Mayflower, population 2,647.
Yeah, Perry Robinson, City of Worcester, population around 1,300. Probably the water area service we cover is around 5,000.
Sammy Hartwick, Mayor of Greenbrier. Our sign says 4706.
Sam Higgins from the thriving metropolis of Guy, Arkansas. Population somewhere around 700, give or take 10 or 15.
Mr. Titus, Twin Groves, population 330.
Ben Dameron, Holland, population right around 500.
Jonathan Hawkins, Mayor of Mount Vernon, population of 144.
L.B. Pavette, Damascus, and population is about 600, give or take 3 or 4.
Randy Brown, Enola, population 338.
Randy is representing Mayor
Shane Ronalds.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the Secretary of Treasury.
He's Secretary of Treasury.
I'm the one that does actual work.
Don't represent him just well set up.
Mark Asbury Conley, and we don't have a clue. we're estimating 65. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit better than that with the census. We don't have an accurate count. Right.
We had a funeral Sunday, Judge. My family there and Guy. And there's 13 brothers and sisters in that family. And they all come from all over the United States. They all brought kids. We had a church full. And I asked all of them if they would think about moving back home and do it before census because we needed to know.
The reason I asked it that way, folks, and it's on the agenda a little bit, the census. You as mayors and my responsibility and all. Folks, we've got to get an accurate count. The next 10 years, pretty well, it's what happened on this count that last you 10 years. I expect there'll be growth in every city. Probably more growth than you realize. Preston, come on up here. I got you a spot.
You're
going to try to set it out there. You
I'm
going to
sit back here in the back and be a Baptist.
Right.
Was you on the back row?
We've done gone through some introduction, but we'll ask you to introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and what the population of the area you represent.
Preston Scroggins, City of Bologna, and I think we're 4,805 right now.
That's pretty good.
We were talking about. Then I skip down and I'll leave out now because I want to introduce folks in the office, audience.
I'm Mark Ledbetter, County Road Foreman.
And City Council Member.
City Council Member.
Sheriff Tim Robbins.
I'm Philip Murphy, I'm the County Attorney.
I'm Tom Anderson. I'm the county administrator.
Sheila.
Sheila Belot, director of the Office of Emergency Management. Jennifer Boyette, the new executive director of the United Way Central Arkansas. Amy Friend from the United Way as well.
Okay, if you,
Margaret Garger, county clerk.
Margaret takes care of the books, and there's no telling how many meetings she makes during a year on top of being kind of part of her job. And I'll put it on. I'm going to change this agenda is for your benefit, or I won't ramble, but first time I've had an agenda since I got a directive. This is mandated, and you've got to prepare an agenda, so you've got one. But I'm going to go to item four on the agenda, and I'm going to recognize Amy Prince to introduce. And she is acting head of United Way at this time.
I have a few days left, so. All right. Thank you so much. This is really an honor to be here to speak to you because that is what we do. I mean, we can't help folks until everybody knows what we do. And United Way has changed so much over the years that I'm going to assume that most in this room do not know some of what I'm about to tell you. So I'm really excited to share it. I did bring six of these. It's not enough, but you can take one and I can get more. It has all the information and then some in it of what I'm going to cover. You know probably what the United Way used to be, which was a fundraiser for the organizations that we fund, and they range from Cradle Care to the Senior Citizen Center and everything in between. We still do that, and we still do that well. Right now, we have 18 agencies and 33 programs that we fund. But what we do now that's kind of new that we didn't used to do that really will affect the citizens in every single one of your communities, one of them we're about to kick off is called VITA. It's a free tax program for households that make $56,000 or less. That is a vast majority of our communities. Now, that could be a combined income of 56 or less, or the single, either whatever, we will do those for free. And free really is free in this case. All they have to do is make an appointment. We've got a couple of different ways right now. We're going to have a Super Saturday, February 1st, which they can come, and when they leave, it's filed. Or from February 3rd through April 10th, we're going to do them in our office. We just took on Conway County. We cover Conway, Van Buren, Perry, and Faulkner County. So we can take it out in those communities as well. So if you have a place and you want us to come, we can also do that. We just need enough warning and make sure we can get the volunteers where we can come out there and do them, say, the Senior Citizen Center at Twin Groves or, you know, in some of the smaller areas. We can do that as well. Last year, they told us the first year we were going to do it, that we were going to do 50. We did 300 our first year. Last year, we did over 400 tax returns, and that brought back in over $500,000 back into our community because it was folks that were not getting their taxes done for the most part. So because of that, it's important to you as, you know, as leaders of your communities to do that. One thing that we're going to do, we're actually working with Shawana and the City of Conway. We're going to help with the census as well through that. When they come in to get their taxes done, we're going to ask them if they, you know, have they done it, do they know the process, and we're going to allow them the opportunity to do that in our office as well online. So we're working with them. And that will also, we don't just say Conway. And even if you're not in one of those areas I talked about, we can still go do the taxes. So they're coming to us from everywhere. So that's kind of exciting, and I just think it's something that I want you to pass on, that they call our office and get that set up.
That's free, too.
That is free. It really is free.
The price is good.
Yes, that's right. We had one lady who came in the first year we did it. Well, we could go back 3 years. So that year we went back to 3 years with her taxes. She received $9,000 back on her taxes. That was life-changing money, you know. And so what we were able to do with that is then we kind of started the thought process of what's next. So the director at the time and our board, you know, kind of started working, and now we also offer financial empowerment classes. Right now they're at our library locally, but again, it's something we can take into your communities as we grow. But they are budgeting, cooking on a dime, credit repair. What is credit? I mean, they're a vast majority of classes. So that's something else that we offer you as just part of the area that we cover. So that's something else I want to share with you. Another one is Imagination Library. What that is, it is a free book program for children birth to 5 years old. And the way it operates is a child signs up. It is no cost to them. It costs us about $125 for the child for 5 years. So $125 covers them for that full 5 years. Every one of the communities here have somebody on that list. Greenbrier, we have quite a few on that list right now, but we also have quite a few on the waiting list. And the waiting list is because it's not fully funded. So we are looking for help to help figure out how, ways to make sure that that's strong within your schools, because a child who starts ready, their entire, the rest of their 12 years is going to be different. So the library is a big deal. So we're very proud to be the affiliate of that and can bring more to your communities about that and explain it. It's a pretty cool thing. Another thing that we do, and I don't know if you know we do it for you all, but we do Stuff the Bus. Stuff the Bus is a fundraiser with just school supplies, and we give it to every community that we cover. Every public school that is in our area gets school supplies from us. So Greenbrier, Enola, Guy, everybody gets some school supplies for us, and it's based on free or reduced lunches at the schools. And so that is kind of just a big fun way to give back, and it helps the teachers as much as it helps the parents, because the teachers are the ones usually making up that difference. So those are just, besides what we've traditionally done, those are a few of the newer things that we do that are just really, again, directly affect your community. So how you can help is by, if there's companies that you have that we could talk to, you know, and do, we have payroll deductions for everybody available. Schools, you know, when we can get in and talk to the schools, that they're very, very, they're the ones that see the students who are in this need, so they're usually very willing to give. We also have just opportunities to speak, because like last night I spoke to parents at Head Start at CAPCA. I wasn't there to ask them for money. I was there to tell them about our services. And we want to do that too, because that's what we're here for. Do y'all have any questions? I know we only get a few minutes of your very precious time.
Amy, tell us where your location is. One of the mayors just wanted to come to United Way. Where would he go?
Everybody know where Bob's Grill is. That's our kind of our spot. We're right beside Bob's Grill. That's how we tell everybody. It's easy. We're right downtown. Great location. Parking's not so good some days, but we'll talk about that later. There's nothing you can do about it. But we are. We're centrally located. It's a great location, and we're open every day, Monday through Friday.
Right on Oak.
Right on Oak.
Just a couple of things. We have a number of employees that use United Way. They have been a blessing to those families and to us. All of their money stays local. It's for local people, Conway people, doesn't go to anybody else, or Greenbrier, Palmer County, and I think the Perry County. But the services they provide is really an untapped treasure that if people would realize just exactly what all they offer, and the folks in our community that need the help, it's really, really a great, great group for you guys to become aware of and direct people that way.
Absolutely.
What's your budget? I expected budget for this year.
Our goal, previously we were $1 million campaign. Right now we are hoping to get around $600,000. So we are trying our best to get back up to that $1 million mark. But right now it's about $600,000.
Mm-hmm. This money will spend.
It really is. One of the biggest reasons why United Way and not give like, directly to an agency or a program is because money that comes from United Way programs typically gets matched by government. So on average, ours get 4-to-1 match. Some of our agencies get a 21-to-1 match. You know, so they give to us. All of our agencies give to us, and that's why. You know, we have one director. She gives directly to us. She's a $1,000 pillar, and she does it because her organization is going to get that match 4 times. And so it just makes it's a good investment to use United Way. And so that's kind of the why when people ask. I'd rather give a check directly to, you know, for CAPCA, who's out of money usually by the second day of the month, they get a 21-to-1 match for every dollar we give them for that program. So imagine where they would be if they didn't get that money. We wouldn't even make it to the second. So that's a big deal. United Way's biggest reason for being is to get someone to that next, to not needing help again. That's what we're here for. It's not, we're not that immediate need maker always. Sometimes we do give a sleeping bag or we do help somebody with shoes. But really our goal is to get them in there and to figure out how we can get them from needing help. Because there's only this much money and this much need. So we've got to make, one more. I promise I'll leave. Charity Tracker. I forgot to mention that. Charity Tracker is a huge gift that we have for the community. We pay for it. It's funded through us. And really quickly what it is it takes, you know, Mayor Castleberry can come and send somebody to my office and they can give me their story once. That story then goes to 130 people instantly all over the county. It goes to them, and so they're able to see it. So that person then doesn't have to go to 50 churches and get $50, $50, $50. everybody can see it. It also keeps that person who maybe met there what they needed at the third church but continued going, you know, and getting more than they potentially needed. It stops that as well because everybody's able to pull it up and see, here's this person, here's the need. One of my favorite stories of seeing the impact of that is during the flood. And it was, we had a lady come to us with her wristband still in her arm from the hospital. Promise not to cry on this one. But she literally had just got out of the hospital with her new baby. And while she was in the hospital, she lost her entire home and everything in it through the flood. You all saw that over and over. Where was she going to go? What was she going to do? She didn't know. She was able to come to us, and before that weekend was over, we had all of her kids' beds. We had that basic stuff they needed. She had an apartment, just nothing in it. And we were able to do that. And then I say we, it wasn't us. It was all those 130 people who said, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. So Charity Tracker is a tremendous resource that I hope you can also help us get into your schools, into your churches, into your organizations that would like to be a part of that. So some of you, a lot of you already are, and some of your churches are, but we really, really want to grow that as well. So.
Y'all are a tremendous resource.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you all for your time. I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Do you present throughout the year, or you do?
Yes, so anytime anybody calls, yes. We're looking at the whole staff right now. we won't go anywhere that we were asked to go.
Okay.
Introduce the new director.
Absolutely. So this is Jennifer Boyette. Jennifer will officially begin with us February 3rd, but she has already been in many hours learning. She's from Conway, so she knows everything, you know, how it's ins and outs. So we're really excited to have her officially start with us next week. So
thank you, guys. I'm excited to be home, excited to work with you all. So please reach out anytime we can come speak. Yes, we would love to do that. We would really appreciate that opportunity. So thank you.
I'm interested in your tactical prayer myself.
Yes.
Could
you say? Yeah. Well, you know, we did a lot of people. Lady asked me last night about that. She said, "Well, is it just for lower income like me?" And I said, $56,000 is a lot of our teachers. It's a lot of our fire department, our police department. It's our civil servants. It's a lot of us fit in that category of $56,000 or less. So we see a variety of people, and we want that to be the case because that's what we're here for. So.
Social Security kind of.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. What's that again?
Is Social Security income counted in the 56,000?
As long as it is still a simple form and you're not, you don't bring anything complicated yet. So as long as it's still just simple information, as long as you don't start including some complicated stuff, we'll still do it.
Good job, ma'am.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Jennifer didn't say this. Jennifer grew up around the courthouse.
Yeah.
Her mother was.
She wasn't sure where courtroom A was. I was like, it's up there. So I was raised here.
Mark and I went to school with her.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, my card is in there. Jennifer's information is the same as far as the phone numbers, so I can get more any of that to you. Shoot us an email, give us a call. We'll be glad for you anything you need.
Folks, they are a tremendous resource and all up. I guess you give me the time on this program. Because there's times you look for resources.
You know, before you get anything. Lost everything.
Good people, but
yeah, good people.
The next item on this agenda, just for more or less awareness, well, most of this agenda is awareness that folks, early voting starts in 3 weeks. I guess you're prepared. I don't even know if there's any election in your town.
Are we prepared?
We're getting there.
There's going to be Margaret and Emma be setting up in some towns in 3 weeks. And then everybody on March the 3rd precinct, but that's right here in front of us. And I don't think we've heard it mentioned a whole lot. And I could slip it up on everybody. Early voting.
Well, we're going to be voting.
Used to be in May.
What offices, Margaret, are we voting for?
Well, all the JPs are up, but you don't have a contested race, but in two of them. Well, Bart won't be on the one until November.
The super primaries.
The super primaries, yeah. Your presidential primary on the Republican and the Democrat. You got some state house and Senate.
Local judges.
and local judges. It's their primary. I mean, it's their general. Huh?
We have one judge race?
All the judges are up, but only one race. I think that's correct. I'm sorry. January is my busy year for taxes and everything else, so I haven't stepped into that mode yet. I'm on my way there.
I just had on with Jennifer. It seemed like it's slipping up right here. We got a March 3rd voting day.
It's coming quickly.
Don't anticipate the kind of turnout. There's no way I don't anticipate the turnout. I bet right now it's going to be low, even though it's a presidential super vote.
Voter registration compared to most other elections is down quite a bit. Just normally we have stacks and stacks of voter registration, and it takes us all, and we're able to maintain it with one girl doing it. So.
Okay, in this group, Mark, do you have a ad hoc committee to promote the census that you have?
I actually have one person who's over it for us. I should have brought her with me and let her tell you everything she's doing in Conway. They've got commercials starting with Conway Corporation, from the African American community, the Hispanic community, leaders, and all those communities are going to be on the commercials, different slot times and different dates. We've got kiosks posted different places around town to help folks as far as, you know, being easy to get to. And we're actually going to set up some dates, whether they're out at Walmart and Kroger and places like that with computers, and we'll be helping people there. So if you want to know, Shawanda's got pages of things that we're doing in the city. She has taken them all and just ran off with it. She's doing a great job. Shawanda Rogers, 450-6110. And if you have any questions, she can answer them for you and give you some good ideas.
Who else has any group working on the census? The county has an ad hoc committee of about 12 people. It's headed up by Laura K. Smelton. And they've met, I believe they've met three times. I know they've met twice, but I think they've met three times. And more or less to promote the awareness of the census and how important it is that people get counted. Arkansas was in the lower tier in 2010 of mailing back the census that comes in the mail. I think I heard yesterday that there'll be a mailing around the 12th of March. Everybody on record, that they have a record on, will be mailed the census. 2010, 69% of the folks in Arkansas sent it back in. The other 31%, if they're going to be counted, they're going to have to be counted manually. We have heard that, and so informed, the college students that reside here are counted in our census. It's going to be a major undertaking in that group. Nursing homes, the Children's College, Human Development Center, those residents are counted in our census. Getting them counted is going to be a huge undertaking, but all of you, in other words, have a role to play in it, and I sure wish you would talk it up how important it is. People mail it back in. Mail it back in.
We've got a committee of five, and we've met with them two or three times, and we're going to go door to door with them. Got the fire department going to work with them. We're going to do everything we can to get every one of them counted.
They're hiring people right now, and pretty good pay for a part-time job.
$23.75 an hour.
$23-something, yeah. It's pretty good pay.
We're not going to get a job.
Part-time. And they'll pay you for the training that you have to go to.
Work you over that 56.
And all that. So it's something that's really important to municipalities, towns, and the county. And we're going to have to make a good effort to try to get folks aware that you need to be counted. I'm concerned about it, but I guess that's as far as I've gone concerned about it for anything else. But I do have some money made available to help our group do some advertising in the county and some awareness. The director of the census for our Central Arkansas North area lives here in Conway, and she has been active, really active, since the county fair. She was active at the county fair and all, but she's been active, but she has a lot more counties than just Faulkner County. But folks, we need an accurate count, and the growth this county has had over the last 10 years, I hope to do this week and have an accounting of it. Yeah, too.
I was just going to say, we have a lady that's, we have one that's working now, where she's working as of today and this week about getting a letter out to the churches in our area to where they can help, and then we're going to set a computer up there at City Hall to where they can come in if they don't have access to it or don't want to mail it in, or, you know, be a help to where they can have access to one if they don't have one.
Spring Grove's also a complete count committee. Started out by 8 people, but it's about 5 people now. Want to use social media, Facebook. We'll do flyers. I wish we could do kiosks, but we can't. But churches, we've involved in, so everybody. Try to make, like I say, the awareness as great as we can, because the larger cities might be able to survive pretty good without, you know, counting everybody. The smaller ones need everybody, so we're doing our part to promote. Not only in the city limits, you know, I've told them it really doesn't matter if we reach somebody that's outside the limits. That's really just a good thing, because the entire state, we're all involved. So we're trying. Thank you.
I personally hope that the county can at least show a 5% growth. I'd love to see a 10, but it's probably closer to 10 than 5 countywide. But the effort's going to have to be made to get that accounting done. There are billions of dollars that are turned back, and they're turned back based on your census report this year for the next 10 years. You don't get so much next year, and it increases and all that. It stays what it is based on the census. And I know that the major metropolitan areas in this country will get the lion's share. There's no question about it. But if we can get our folks counted, we're due our share. So I just hope you put that issue in as a challenge for now through April to get us an accurate count the best we can. Anybody else want to say anything on the census?
We had a young lady from the Census Bureau come out and speak at our last city council meeting. And myself and James Chance, the fire chief, are in charge of ours. We just did a lot of the stuff already because we provide MEMS ambulance services and survival flight helicopter services to everybody in the city limits. So we just went around and got everybody's names, ages, and phone numbers. So we got a way to contact them.
That's good. Lean on your city council members. Help get the word out. There's no reason not to. And, if you have somebody come before the city council meeting, I'll say, great. Bother me, I'll come if I can. But I'm not as good as most people. We've got it's a challenge, and we've got to step to the plate for this challenge, and the reward is down the road. I've got on this agenda, this is the agenda that the AAC sent. There's 15 items on it, and I've marked off about 7 and added 2 or 3, but anyway, I've marked off 8 or 10 and added 2 or 3, but the sheriff's here. Law enforcement services is one thing that's on this list, and I don't think it made the jump, but I want sheriff, anything you'd like to talk to them about while you're here. I know the jail's going to be a challenge. We're under the gun. We're going to try to buy some time, and all you might tell them Anything you want to tell them? No. Feel free.
Well, it's undergoing, and Phillip's up to speed, and he and everything's moving forward as far as our temporary facility, what I'm calling temporary facility. It's just a small facility that's mobile that can be brought in here in one fashion. And so we've actually had to back up, put bids out because of the price of it. And once this bid process happens, we will determine which direction we're going to go and then get an additional 45 to 48 bed facility added on for our maximum security, which is where our overcrowded issue is always at. We have 118 bed capacity here at our maximum security. On average, we have 160. These are all violent offenders that we have to. So we've done some adjustments. We've done some things to kind of reduce a little bit of that population. We're still overcrowded, and this is going to be a good temporary solution so that we can address a long-term goal in the future. I think probably one of the things that you guys may be most interested in with us may be, and if I can get some help from Phillip, is we've met with the chiefs and we have actually initiated an increase in the jail fines. And each municipality right now sends us a county jail fine of $5. Is it the county?
By statute, there's two ways that municipalities are in somewhat financially responsible for the jail. One option is a per diem option, which basically says the city would be responsible for each inmate per day that the inmate is in jail. And the Faulkner County Quorum Court passed an ordinance late last year that set the per diem rate at, I don't remember, 40 something dollars. So basically a $40 per diem rate that would begin in 2020. The sheriff, though, has decided to utilize a statute that says in lieu of charging the per diem rate, so in lieu of charging $40 per inmate per day, to sign agreements with the municipalities that would allow the municipalities to increase the fines on traffic citations from $5 to $20, and then have that directly sent to Faulkner County in order to help pay for some of the prison expenses. So that's what's been ongoing. So those municipalities which have a police presence are currently, we've been talking with the police chiefs, everything's in place. Many of you, I know Guy, Greenbrier, Bologna, I think have already even had those town council meetings where you've passed the ordinance increasing that city jail fee from 5 to 20. And so basically what that does is it's instead of raising taxes or having the towns meet that financial burden, that's being passed on to people that are committing crimes or traffic violations or however you want to look at that. So now, basically, for every, I think, traffic violation or citation, it's a total of $40 that goes to pay for the jail. 20 of that's a county fee, and then 20 of that's a city fee that gets sent to the county jail.
So the city fee also goes to the county, right?
That's right. Yeah, the statute reads is that the city has the ability to charge a $5 to $20 fee to help supplement cost to the county. So rather than charge a per diem rate of $40 per inmate, the guy has agreed to increase that from $5 to $20 and then have that remitted directly to the county.
We've been paying $20 since 16.
Yeah.
And we also charge $5 that we keep at the city. Is my understanding it, that money, that $5 that's separate from the 20, do we have to send that in also?
Yes. So there's two
so
fees.
So now we're looking at 45.
No, I'm sorry. It should be 40 total. So 20 on the county is the county jail fee. And then the city jail fee, you might be right, might have been, already been at 20. I don't know.
Yes.
What that, but now that $20 is just being directly remitted to the county. So there's probably no change as far as additional fees for your particular city.
I like that. Legislation said it directs, it says that in that city jail fine, that city jail fine is to be used to offset the cost of an inmate.
I understand.
It has to be used toward a detention facility. Whether it's at your facility, if y'all had a detention or a jail at your facility, it could go there. If not, it's mandated to have to come to it's supposed to come to the county.
Does the county have a $20 fee per ticket?
Yes.
They do have?
Yes.
And it's going to go to $40?
No. It's max. It's the maximum the county fee can be is 20. The maximum of city jail fee is 20, which would be a total of 40 then.
Okay. I had my clerk look up how much the city of Guy sent the county in 19, and it's just a little short of $16,000. I don't know, Conway's probably $100,000. I don't know about Bologna. It'll be more than ours. Greenbrier's the same way. So I just want to make sure everybody, including the county, I don't think the county writes a whole lot of tickets, but I don't know that. But I'd like to have y'all's numbers. If you could send them to me, I'd appreciate it.
I think the anticipated revenue is somewhere in the $150,000 range, is what the idea of.
Is that an increase of that amount of money?
Is that an increase of which amount of money?
The extra $20.
That assumes that all cities increase that fee to $20. They expect then to have about $150,000 in revenue.
Okay.
Annually, correct.
Now, another way of looking at this is also your smaller communities who rarely have somebody incarcerated in our facility here, it may be a wiser decision to go with a per diem. It all depends on who you arrest and how long he sits in our jail, you know. The per diem may be the route to go for a smaller municipality because that may be a route that you might want to look at. I don't know. That option's out there to do that. But a larger facility, it would be, I don't know how any municipality could afford a $43 a day, especially somebody like Conway.
Realistically, it's a $15 increase for us. We're already paying $5, so we passed an ordinance a couple of weeks ago where we've increased ours by $15 over 20.
So, but we're talking $150,000 annually that's going to raise. If I'm not mistaken, if I've heard y'all say, here, you're wanting to build a $22 or $23 million jail. It's going to be hard to pay for that with $150,000 a year.
This is not a solution for any of that. This is just a solution.
No, this is a temporary.
To help us right here, right now.
And it's.
Yeah, that's all it is.
The act that they're operating under was passed in 2007 that put the $20 in place. I wasn't around and all this, all of a sudden it was agreed on $5 in this county.
Well, I understand that the $20 per ticket has been in effect since 16.
Well, it may have been in effect, but
that's I'm just saying for us. I don't know about everybody else, but for us, it's been since 16.
That's the city jail fine, city fine.
$20 per ticket goes to the county. We've been doing that since 16. So now it's going to be 40. Is that what you're telling me?
Yours is still going to be 20. It's going to be max.
Max is 20.
Max to extend is 20. So you got two categories. You got county jail fine and city jail fine.
Okay.
somebody from Enola, do you get any money from us?
If you don't have a local law enforcement agency there that's writing citations, I don't think this would apply to any of those. These are just ones that have municipal a law enforcement presence there to be able to write citations. Now, if a state trooper, I guess it'd be if you don't have a court.
Yeah,
the court is what I mean. That probably needs to say.
I'm just going to say one more thing, and I'm going to hush. Until we get judges to enforce, instead of letting them do a time pay, they come in and pay $5 a month, and they're good. I mean, we've got over $1 million sitting on our docket that we can't collect.
We did that.
Councilor Sue.
If they pay $5 a month, they're good to go. Until these judges start having them accountable for their tickets, it's going to be like this from now on.
Yeah, that's the same thing that that the sheriff's office is going to deal with. Just because there might be $40 worth of fines on a citation doesn't mean that's $40 collected on the citation. So I think the sheriff's office is taking that into account. But overall, we feel like in many ways, this is a better deal financially for the cities. This is not, otherwise you might be getting a bill for several thousands of dollars depending on inmates. Plus it would put pressure on the local police force of whether or not to arrest an individual or bring them to the jail. And we don't want people necessarily not making those decisions. So we felt like this was in the best interest of both the county and the city, kind of a win-win.
Don't ever get
police
department.
If you're on time pay, they charge $5 a month.
You don't ever
be on time pay also.
We'll just let them carry the towel on.
Yeah. They charge an additional
if you don't have if you don't have a police department, don't start one.
Yeah. I compare.
I'd like to thank Tim for working with us on, because push came to shove, they could make a lot more than
I agree. That's the best option.
I appreciate it, Tim.
There is no way that based on legislation of what the potential could be, could be devastating to municipalities. And I've been against that thought to the nail and trying to just start from scratch. Let's move forward. Let's not go backwards. Let's move forward. And because we also need relationships.
Let me bring you up to date a little bit. There was a review committee of our jails last year. We're overcrowded. What are you going to do about it? The options are not very good. But the committee that gave the review has the stroke. We have to react in some form. One of the areas we're going to try to do, or in the game plan right now, is to build with this 45 to 50 bed pod unit or an off of the Mexican, and to buy maybe 5 to 7, maybe longer years, before we expand our present jail brick and mortar. And try to determine how we're going to be able to fund it. And when we do, we think we can service the debt on this increase. We can't pay for it. You're talking somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5 million in that ballpark, just to buy some 5 to 7, maybe 9 years down the road. But during that time frame, some way is going to have to be established how you're going to have revenue to pay that kind of debt, because you're looking at, you're looking at more than $15 million to expand the jail. And what they say, our population growth has got us there. It's not anything else. I mean, with problem growth, along with the growth, we get the challenges of doing this jail here. It's 30-year-old, one out yonder, all of a sudden, it's getting close to, I won't say 15, I don't know if I'm close.
20 years, yeah, I think a lot of things breaking down. We've got stuff that's, we can't touch anything unless it's $150,000, everything we do.
If we waited 10 more years to build a new jail, it's going to cost more than that. Stuff goes up about three times every year. So now you're going to be looking at $60 or $80 or $90 million.
Only answer I've got for you, Sam, I probably won't be county judge when that happens.
Don't worry about it. It won't bother me.
All fair. I'm trying to buy time is what I'm trying to get.
And with that, one other point is with that $3 million you're talking about with this facility that we're looking to get the 48-bed facility in, that will be ours. That will, you know, under the circumstances, that'll be ours. And that will be, it has a 50-year shelf life for this particular module that we're looking at. And so when a maximum security facility is built, all maximum security go into that. Our female area, the only female area we have, is that we have a capacity of 90 females. We're always right there at the capacity on our females. We've always got 80 to 90 females in this. So this will be a great overflow to be able to utilize this maximum security for females. That'll give us 48 more beds for our female facility. So we will be able to utilize that $3 million investment that in the future after we get to a point to this brick and mortar park.
Well, my deal is Faulkner County, as big as it's getting, and the future, you can't keep operating off a half-cent sales tax. You're going to have to do something.
Amen.
Amen. I agree.
And I know why it was a half-cent, but you're going to have to figure out how to get around that, and you're going to have to sell it to the people because you can't keep operating. You're just wearing yourself out. Yeah, that's,
my I don't want to pay any
taxes either, but you're going to have to just bite the bullet and do it. You're going to have to sell it to the people.
My counsel is just like his court. You mention the tax or you mention it going up on anything, they just go bananas. But you have to pay.
That's you have to sell it for the people. You don't have to do a good job explaining why. But you look at the City and Town magazine, go in the back, and you look at every county in the state. There ain't nobody a half cent sales tax. And not growing like Faulkner County is. I mean, you don't have to do something.
You can get them past one if you turn their toilets up.
This county's tied with the bottom three counties in the state of Arkansas that have six sales tax.
Yeah.
And most of your class six counties are 1.5.
We got to figure out some way.
You just going to have to do it. You're going to have to bite the bullet and do it because you just can't keep on like it is. You're wearing yourself out.
But you got these goofballs.
And I know you don't want to pay it. No, I don't either. But you're going to have to do something.
Yeah. They think you can run everything on nothing.
And, you know, if you collect anything over half a cent, as the way I understand it, it has to be divided part of it to the population. Conway gets the majority, but we will have to just step in there and say, look, can you do, I mean, my question to you, Judge, can you do this? Can you say, you know, I don't want my part, I want to go to the county. Can you do that?
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's going to have to be, because time we divide it up, there ain't going to be nothing left to count.
As it's presently set up, if we increase the sales tax a half cent, the cities would get half of that half a cent.
Yep.
Unless the cities signed a memorandum with the county that the whole half a cent would go to the county. Or, you know, that's just the way it's set up. I mean, you get the first half cent, you keep it in the county. Anything above that, you got to share it with cities. So that's I don't think that's insurmountable on the task, because I know where the money needs to go, and I thank everybody else. But I don't want to have to see us raise property taxes. Mm-hmm. I want it to be on the sales tax side of it, where it's the fairest tax.
I do too.
I don't think anybody. Right now, we're going to have enough efforts on keeping our schools going, things of this nature. That's going to have to be where that's at. And, you know, but this sales tax issue will have to be an area that's going to have to be pursued, see if the public will support it. Not quite in a position at this time to go down that road, but this is what this meeting's about, folks. This is challenges that faces each one of us, indirectly, indirectly.
but
what's good for the county is good for us.
We're
all in it together.
Cost in the county continues to go up. Cost in your cities continue to go up. There's no question about it. I was told by a pretty smart man one time, if you face somebody that says he won't vote to raise taxes, you turn around and walk away right then. His answer was, the whole country runs on taxes.
Terrible.
If you don't want to do things, just vote against the tax increase. The whole country runs on it. And it's an issue we're facing by this mandate of the review committee from the state. It's probably got here a little quicker than we anticipated. We're making some modifications in this jail right now. To better secure it and all this stuff, and it's not a huge undertaking, but it sure needs to be done. I don't want to be a jailer. So, coroner and a jailer's off my sheet. That's not on my bucket list. But there's a lot of other folks not cut out to be jailers neither. Because the turnover in the jails with qualified people, folks, is highest in the county. Is in that jail.
Yeah.
This fellow today, he's twice as big as I am. He was tickled to death to be on the security door out of the justice building. He had been in the jail. I don't believe he run over with the tank, but he had worked the last 3 or 4 years in jail. He is so proud he got to move over to security for the courthouse. And, but it tells on folks, tells on families. If you're a jailer, folks, it's tough to deal with. And,
I think it needs to be sooner than later, and I think it needs to have a task force assigned to sell it to the people and where they can understand it. I think you'd get it passed.
Well, Sam, that's a good comment. I think the task force would be something that you really want to put into place to try to analyze the situation. But right here in this group is probably where it's going to come from. Mm-hmm. In other words, buy-in from this group will have to be first when we start. There's no question. Number one, you've got to be able to get. If we go after half a cent or cent or whatever, we got to be able to get it dedicated just for that those purposes.
Right.
It's going to have to start right here in this group and all in the. It's an issue we face. It's a challenge. We got another. It's right down here at number 8 on this little piece of paper called 911.
Yeah.
I've asked Sheila to give me a little bit of a briefing right now on basically what we're looking at in 2022. And I told her to be brief. I'd like you to come forward and where everybody's listening. We all depend on 911. It's probably one of the few services that we pay for that everybody gets the benefit of.
I'm going to beat a dead horse because I know I've talked to y'all about this the last couple of years. I've got some new figures from 2019. I know the last ones I give to y'all at other meetings was from a couple of years ago, but just to give you an idea, in 2019, the total operating cost to run the 911 center was $2,231,863.19. The revenues that we get in to support that 911 center, which come from your cell phone surcharges and your landline surcharges, was $891,696.73. So the difference in what the cost is and what the revenues are bringing in is $1,340,166.46. That cost is paid by the City of Conway and Fauquier County. That number, that deficit that we are subsidizing, is growing every year. The cost to run the center is growing every year. There's been a committee that's been meeting about 3 or 4 years now that's been trying to look at options. What can we do to decrease this? And it's been tough. We've had meetings and meetings and meetings, and I feel like that hamster in the wheel just spinning because it pulls down the money. In 2022, we are going to be required to do a mandatory 5-year upgrade. In 2012, it was $367,000 for that upgrade. In 2017, it was around $800,000. So we're anticipating it being over $1 million in 2022. So not only are we faced with the upgrade, but there was a Public Safety Act that came out last year that is going to double the cost of our cell phone surcharges from 65 cents to $1.30. But with that being said, we're not getting that double income. There's other organizations that are getting some off of the top of that, like the AWIN, Wireless Information Network, Statewide Interoperable Communication System, getting $8 million of that off the top. The newly created 911 board is getting a percentage of that. ALETA, which is the organization that does the training for the dispatchers, they're getting a percentage of that, and the counties are going to get what's left. So with that being said, we're not going to quite get double. We're hoping to get 55 to 60% increase, which is still not going to offset the cost of what we're incurring at the center. So not only with that act did they increase the wireless surcharges, they've also required the newly appointed 911 board to cut down the PSAP centers, or the 911 centers, basically. We have over 200 in the state. They are going to cut it down, so they're only funding 77. So we're also looking at consolidation within our 911 center. Right now it's two, City of Conway and Walker County, co-located in one building. If they only allow each county to have one PSAP, which is what we're anticipating, we're going to have to come up with a plan to combine that by January 1 of 2022. We've got ideas, we've got plans, but they cost money that we don't have. And so it's been a challenge. We've been working, Mark Ledbetter's on our committee, the sheriff, and several other stakeholders, and it's been a challenge to try to come up with how we're going to do this, and we've got 2 years to do it.
AT&T's their own country.
That's right.
Yeah. They can pretty well set their rates.
Got the monopoly, yep. What you're trying to say. It's a monopoly.
They're their own country.
A true example. Month of January, the road shop. We've been paying $200+, $260, for our road shop for phone service. Not even long distance, just the thing, phone service. January bill is $564 for the same phone service. Just send us the bill, $564.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Sheila.
It's unreal.
AT&T was initial stages against all this until they found out that AWINS falls under them as well. Then they got their lobbyist on board. So not only are they getting it from our counties and our cities that run 911 centers, but they got the lion's share of the AWINS money as well.
Wow. You have access to fiber out there?
You
have access to fiber.
We do now,
yeah. Switch into fiber price, I assume.
That's what
we did a community water of very experience, like $42,000 a year.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
We have that on the agenda for IT to do that.
Look at this bill. We woke up a little bit. Folks, we had a phone line going to Greenbrier that nobody used, and it cost us $30-something hundred a dang month, and we can't figure out nobody ever used it. But AT&T said they want the $30-something hundred a month. That's been unplugged.
If you call 911 from someone from your city, I think it goes to the 911 center in Conway. No, it goes to the Grain in Little Rock, shoots at Conway.
And AT&T, the Grain,
nobody knows.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the cloud. Nobody knows.
We're not only the criminal justice side of the house is going to have to have some hefty funding. This right here is going to have to. There's sure not any room in our present budget structure in the county to adjust very much either way on this.
And that's those numbers that I gave you, that's just your basic everyday bills. That's not including equipment upgrades, maintenance and sustainment of the equipment that's there. The next gen capability that they're trying to move us forward to with being able to text and stream video to 911. This is all exclusive of that. We had a battery backup system that had to be replaced this year. It was $106,000. Just to back the system up.
It all comes around what we've been talking about.
Money.
And go up on taxes.
And when you go to the polls.
Yep.
You need to talk to your legislators, and if they're not for it, get them out of there.
Yep.
Or something.
Any other questions of Sheila? I'll be with you. I want you to hang around. Yeah,
this is for
everybody. Any other questions of Sheila?
Thank you, man. Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you. We're in our Office of Emergency Management, folks, that's awarded the Floodplain Manager of the Year. The office was the office that awarded the office floodplain manager of the year by the state of Arkansas, and we're proud of it. We hadn't seen no headlines on it much. Probably won't, but that's not what we do it for. But we're proud of it. We really are. Let me do one other thing. Before we go any further. Countywide cleanup on trash has been established as April 15th through May 15th. Now, I know there's some cities that have their own city deal, but from the, and we support that and work with you best we can. But our month, Stanley Russ program that was started 3 years ago, we adjusted the date to April 15th to May 15th, with the big weekend being May 15th, where we'll be accessed for at the Expo Center and all the type e-waste stuff this next big weekend will be May the 15th. It's been a good program, folks. It's unreal how it's grown in the last 2 years, and this basically is the third year, and I'm proud to say it hadn't cost very little tax dollars. Supporting the effort, probably, yes, but there's no line item budget for the countywide cleanup. And it's been a good effort. It's run by the Solid Waste Management Group, which some of your board members and all in all. It's been a good program, and we've seen benefit from it. So I want to announce that part. One other thing I need to cover, and all that, I think y'all got a municipal league meeting next 2 weeks or something. Got sometime or another. Right. Municipal league. One area that's going to be put in the forefront is trying the extension of the half a cent sales tax on fuel or gas. It is big for Faulkner County. We've been doing it several years, half cent collected. We get, based on the state collects half cent, we get county gets 15% of it, city gets 15%. It's collected in your area, in other words, it's turnback. You may not think 15% of a half cent is very much until you start adding it up, and it is a huge amount. That comes back. Has anybody done the figures on it?
$88,000. We've passed the resolution support and sent it in.
Does anybody else have a figure? What?
About 130.
I was told, and I was told, $2.2 million for the county and the cities.
That's great.
$2.2 million.
I think ours is right at.
Half a cent sales tax turned back to the county, $2.2 million. I don't know. I was told that, but that's big dollars in infrastructure, and I'm sure you do just what the county does with it. Goes to infrastructure improvements. in Albany. It is going to be critical if this thing doesn't pass this fall, how are you going to fill in that gap? I mean, we'll have to fill it in, but how do you think about filling it in when the thing's on the books already and it's working and all, but it had to have a vote of the people to extend it. And the legislature put it on the ballot for this fall. You'll have people that are adamantly opposed, but I hate to be around folks that's not pretty positive, and this money goes to infrastructure improvement.
But asking for an extension or but a permit?
It's extension permit. Extension make a permit, yeah. Okay. It's extension of the existing half a cent that makes a permit. It's not a new tax.
No, it's extension point.
Excuse me for putting it that way. It's going to become permanent to do it. There are some other things passed in the legislature this year that should help in form of the highway department. Probably right here speaking, that's one of the best partners I got, the state highway department. Some county judges discuss them, but that's one of the best partners I've got. And our state aid jobs every year I've been here, this is the fifth big state aid job we've got, and we'll continue. Your city's been a good beneficiary of the city aid project, and Mount Vernon sure has. You know, we've already got some. We've got some more to do out there, but it all comes back in this half a cent tournament. Somebody got to pay it. That's where it's coming. But please try to take a proactive approach on this and let the naysayer go out and talk outside or somewhere. There's folks actually running for the legislature, running on the platform if they oppose it.
I remember one of them.
Uh-huh. He's in your area.
I know he is.
Your area. he's opposed to the half cent.
He didn't like the treatment he got.
No. But this is something we need to take a proactive approach on. I want to open this up a little bit. This is, I'm remiss in the fact I could go down this list, but I'm not going to. I don't think there's any use talking about a lot of things, maybe planning, but are there things that you'd like to see better interaction on or better support on, the things of this nature that need to be asked? I think that's services that might be considered. I'm under this thing then.
Well, I got a question. Have y'all thought about any, talking about planning as far as, you know, they've cut our planning jurisdiction to 1 mile outside the city limits, and there's a lot of things going on in our area 1 mile out that we can't do anything about, and they're getting away with a lot.
Well, and I think an issue,
as far as subdivisions and things of that nature.
We're having it in our area too, and what I think is going to be an issue for the county somewhere down the road is these package sewer plants that are going in like Chicklets, and there's no regulation on them, really, and they can charge whatever they want, and they don't have to go through the same stuff that you and I do with Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality.
I wish they did.
I know.
They wouldn't be putting them in.
You know, yeah, but that's going to be.
That's going to be a big issue.
Yeah.
The people that live there and bought a house there and all that's the ones that are going to have to.
I think the worst thing they done is cut it back to a mile of territorial jurisdiction.
It was five, wasn't it?
It was five. And it was pretty much taking care of itself pretty good there. But when you cut it back to one, they just crucified it.
So do we have county enforcement, code enforcement?
No.
Or we don't have a county code enforcement?
Well,
we're doing right now. We don't have a county noise ordinance that some folks can't go to bed at a regular time because of the noise and things like that. But we don't have any countywide code enforcement. As such, the sheriff has the authority for some items, but mostly it's just threat more than anything else. There's no written authority.
My mean, just a small example of a subdivision being put 3 miles out. I mean, this is nitpicking, but they don't have any street, they won't put no street lights in. You know, dark as a dungeon. You can't see to turn in nowhere. I mean, if you was in the city, you're going to have to put street lights.
You got a package server, plant service in it?
Yeah. Well, you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's little things like that. It's going to have to be addressed to somebody. If they won't go back to this 5 miles of jurisdictions and that lays it on the county, well, it takes money to do that, you know, so.
There is a huge subdivision right east of town on Middle Road, Shiloh Estates. Built, filled up, own sewer plant, street lights. Sewer plant changed hands last year when the folks that owned it put it in. Sold it to folks in Missouri, I believe. They sent notice that there's the new owners and all this and notified them. Your bill will be $65 a month.
That's correct.
Your bill will be $65 a month. And also, we no longer will pay the electric bill on the street light. But this paying sewer bill included enough to keep the street lights. Energy's out there this week and last week, all the street lighting has been disconnected. Wants the county to pick up the bill. We ain't got no provision.
Where if they was in that 5 mile jurisdiction, they'd have to have a homeowner association, and then they'd pay for it.
So every one of them, you're gonna have to bite the bullet and get you a homeowner association,
you know,
where you can negotiate with your own new owners of your sewer program and some fees to where you can keep your lights on.
You know that new subdivision going in up Sunny Gap where 225 lights. Bill is going to be $54 a month right out of the get-go. And one of the people of that was asking about street lights.
And just another issue that's going to come up and affects all of us except for Bart and Randy is animal control. And I'm sure everybody gets that.
I don't think all of them.
Bull. So
I left it off this thing intentionally, but
I know you did.
From the standpoint of all, I don't have the good answer there. We've got the money to build a facility. We can't figure out how we can operate.
Well, it all goes back to that sales tax.
Goes back to that sales tax.
Some of that, appropriate some of that, some of that. That's your cure. You've got to do it.
So the volunteer tax is well over $1.5 million there, and it would probably build a county facility. If we had any way in the world we'd figure out how we could turn the lights on and operate. We do have a good spay and neuter program, folks. So I'm going to brag on
it
just a minute.
Yep.
Our spay and neuter program so far started last year, not even the full year, so 864 spays and neuters in the county for, I believe it's 25 per cat, 35 per dog.
I don't get
and the county's paid.
I don't really.
Yeah. But that's a good program. It's successful. I hope we keep it going at least that
far. I don't know.
But,
I tried to put
you
in.
Anybody got anything? I'm going to talk about recycling. People pick up recycling now that you know when you're here? They don't pick out the pile. Don't pick up recycling.
We'll have to talk about that again.
Well,
can we get somebody to have some sales tax money to go in?
I don't have a whole list, but I thought of it. There's we got 20 something trailers that we spot every week for recycling. I didn't know where they're spotting them off. And then they got wraps they run.
There is a trailer park beside our general store out there for cardboard.
Yeah.
You know, and the store throws all their cardboard in there.
Yeah.
That's it.
I run a regular route out in my cardboard bed.
Well, yeah, there's some routes. I just don't know right now. Like Simon, have you have any idea where the routes are?
And they come to Greenbrier.
They come to Worcester.
And they come to Guy and Worcester.
They took the trailer out of the Greenbrier School, I mean the Worcester School, because they're throwing trash in it too. So they took it out, and then we had something going there at the office, and they got done the same thing. They took it out, so
can't keep the trash out of it.
They're abusing it.
They wouldn't do that.
Well, since they pay for it, looks like they would abuse it, but that's they don't pay a cent.
All, you got them rednecks live right there, them.
Well, see, we
can find a bush light can in there.
Bring my turn, drop them off, and give them a 15-minute head start, and then let us start hunting. We got lots of land out there.
Well, it's a service provided somewhere on recycling routes, and 22 trailers plotted around the county somewhere for recycling material. And no cost to your cities or towns. There's not a cost there. If you haven't got one, check it out. There is solid waste management as these trailers. I'm not sure where they're spotted at all. I should be. Throw it out there. Y'all got anything else? This group.
That's good news.
I think we need to bring it back up. Ask him when he's going to put it on the docket.
What's up?
Absent sales tax.
It's going to bring 300 jobs to Conway in 18 months. And then DXC,
but we're going to have to.
You're bringing 35 people a month into Conway.
We may need to come to a meeting.
This whole group may need to come to a meeting.
That's technology jobs. Structural is going to be skilled and unskilled labor. And then we've got a bond issue, not bond, MAC-9 bond coming up this Tuesday night. This one just dropped in my laps. I met with a group, Brett Carroll. We have a new business that's going to locate in Conway. It's going to bring 600 jobs. And
when will that be made public?
Probably after Tuesday night. That's going to be skilled and unskilled. So we've got a lot of jobs coming to Conway. So people that need work will be able to find
them. Mayor, on that plant coming in, are they going to use raw wood or are they going to process?
Arkansas white pine.
Will they bring the logs to that facility?
Yeah, so actually this
is structured to the food.
It's going to be the tree growing industry, processing of it. They're going to bring it here to manufacture. And their first big job actually is with the corporate headquarters at Walmart in Northwest Arkansas. So this is going to be big for Arkansas. It's going to bring a lot of jobs to Arkansas. It's going to bring a lot of jobs to Conway. This other business that's coming here, it just showed up last week. They said, yeah, we're coming to Conway.
The wood laminating company that's coming in gets a big burden off of the city, too, for having that big facility down there. Yeah. Just setting.
We make it 10 years.
And folks, the timber industry in Arkansas needs shot in the arm. How big it is, I don't know, but it's coming. It's the only location outside of Canada. They chose to come to Conway. Their headquarters in Canada, all the timber industry, they chose to come to Conway, convert this thing, and Walmart themselves has made a huge investment in the company, and their first major customer of this new mill will be Walmart. So, the SFI, you announced that not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, that's going to have about 40 to 50 jobs. Good part about that is they're a local company that's growing, extending their footprint Conway. That's good. We did MAC-9 bonds on them as well. So things are we got a lot of work coming to Conway.
What he didn't say is folks, they're gonna have to be some houses. All these new jobs, they ain't gonna all be in Conway. Your cities and towns are gonna be challenged with the new houses and no question. Folks will have places to live and all that. And, we've seen them. In fact, in the last year, Faulkner County has probably back again second in housing permits, single family home permits. You know, like we led for a long time, but it's back second in the state in percentage. And I don't see that ending. All the news that Mark's talking about and all with the good jobs.
Is Soundcraft selling all these houses up there in your town?
many jobs you say that
come in? About 4,100. One of them.
Structural and 300. The business that we'll meet on Tuesday night. 600.
Basically.
The 600 jobs, they're going to spend about $114 million on their facility. And then DXC, they started out, they sent us 120 people last year, and they're sending 35 people a month.
ADQ.
Up to their maximum is 1,200.
New job.
New job.
That's
technology. The last DXC is 1,200 for technology. Then 6 and 9 is still not skilled. And there's a
Do I have anything else I'll pitch in right now? Okay, lunch is out here and it's ready. Been told quite past ready. Please go out, get those lunch at Frank. Come back in here and we can still interact and all this. So just consider the official part of this adjourned. But lunch is
Mayor's gets in, y'all. I've got to leave. I can't enjoy lunch.
Jim, thank you.